Welcome back to Season 2 of the Jack Norris Podcast. We like to call it Jack Unmasked. Hockey stories from the 60s and 70s. Proudly brought to you by Ron Brown Implements. All your tractor, trailer, and tandem needs. Call Ron just north of Delisle at 306-834-7109. We hope you enjoy reminiscing about hockey as much as we do. So, without further ado, let's chat with Jack. Okay, well, we're back with the Jack Norris Podcast, Jack Unmasked. Jack, how are things today?
Pretty good. Like I say, it's another nice, beautiful day and no snow.
Yeah, that's exactly right. Did you see that logo that girl made for you, Kayla, friend of mine?
Yes, I did. That's pretty cute.
I'm going to try to get that on the website there as soon as I can. I just haven't figured out the format yet, but she volunteered to do that and it looks awesome. So I can't wait to put that up on the site.
Yeah, it looks really good. I think it's really cool. And it's, That never doesn't show my face, so it's good.
No, it's a high-tech logo. I'm pretty excited about it. And so thanks to Kayla for making that up for us.
Yeah,
that was awesome.
Yeah.
So we've got a busy last couple of weeks. Last Friday, a friend of mine invites us out to the Dinsmore Sports Dinner. Myself and you and Ron Leonard and Mike Gray, we went out there and went there and we got a chance. And Ray Ferraro was the speaker.
Yep.
I thought he was great, but you tell me what you thought about Ray, because you actually talked to him for about half an hour.
Yeah, we had a good visit, and I'd never known Ray before, but you know what? You got to go up to somebody and just say, hey, I used to play here too before you. And when I said that to him, he perked right up, and I showed him that picture that I give to the fund for that trade picture, and I showed him that, and he said, oh, you were on that trade. Is that right? That's good. And yeah. Anyway, we talked.
Well, he was happy because he's a big Boston fan, I think, isn't he?
He started in Boston when he started playing.
No, I think he was a Bruins fan, though.
Oh.
No, he never played in Boston. He started in Hartford.
Oh, yeah.
But he was a Bruins fan, so I'm just saying he'd be, happy about the trade because Boston got really good after that trade.
Yeah, when Bobby Orr comes in, why wouldn't you?
Well, Phil Esposito and Ken Hodge came over, right?
Yeah, that was...
You bet.
They had a good squad there. And Bobby Schmatz was also there from Saskatoon. He was also there.
Yep, you betcha.
Yeah. And I talked to Schmatzy about that a few times, and he says, that Cherry's crazy. He said, he's crazy.
It's funny for Bobby to say that.
Yeah, but I got to tell you, one thing about that episode is every Monday night was off. They always had Monday off because they usually played Friday and Sunday or something. So every Monday night, the boys all got together and went to a bar and had a good time. Aurora would be there and Espo and everybody would be there. And of course, Schmatzy, he'd never say no to that sort of thing. So and he was always there. So it was, they had good camaraderie there. Really good.
Oh, you betcha.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. So what did you think of your conversation with Ray?
Well, it was good because, he comes from the same kind of thing as I come from nothing. But he's just a little guy, a little smaller than I am. But he scored, man, I couldn't believe the amount of goals he scored in junior. Like, he scored 100 and something, 108 goals, I think, in 1 year. Oh, man, I thought, who could score that many goals? But
still a record.
Yeah, he said, and he said it probably will never be broken. He didn't think
it
would.
There's only, that's a record for the dub. I don't know if it's the Canadian one, but there's only three players that have ever scored over 100 goals. Do you remember who he said the other two were?
Gretzky?
Nope.
No? I don't know.
Lemieux and Lafleur.
Oh.
Are the only other two players to ever score over 100 goals in junior hockey.
Oh, really?
Yeah. He says, one of these things don't belong.
He should be recognized, but like I say, he was awful small And he got hurt a lot. You know, he told different stories about his whole career, but he got hurt a lot, knees and whatevers. And when I played, I never ever got hurt. I had a broken nose once, but it didn't stop me from playing. You just straighten your nose and you're right back in there again. So it doesn't matter if it's broken or not. You hope you don't get punched in the nose in the next game, that's all.
Yeah, that's right, eh? Yeah, you betcha.
So, but no, it good talk to Ferraro. He was a nice man, very, very friendly. And boy, when he gave his speech up there, it was an hour and 15 minutes, I think, long.
It was, yeah.
But was it interesting?
It was really good. Well done.
It was really well done. And he had notes, but you know what? I saw him flipping pages for the next story, but I think all he needed was just one page saying this story, that story, that story. And he knows the whole story.
Yeah,
and
that's right.
That's the way he was. But no, he was good. And then he gave a comment on something at the end. They asked him about, Little League Baseball or something.
Oh, yeah, yeah, that's right.
And
yep.
He commented on that, and he says he's really happy they did that. So.
Well, he played in the Little League World Series in, I don't know what year that was, 76 or 78 or something.
Yeah.
He played in front of 22,000 people, so he thought that's why they asked him about that. Yeah,
yeah, he was pretty happy with that. So.
Anything that you felt like you had in common with him?
Oh, yeah, there's one thing, my comment was always, the harder I work, the luckier I get. And that's definitely his way too. If he didn't work hard, he wouldn't have been there.
Yeah.
He wouldn't have been there because he worked hard every game. So that's what I always said too, is I'd always give that comment to kids speaking in schools or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And I'd have their attention. They're looking right at me, and I'd say, you know what? To wind this all up is one thing that I had that I did. And I says, the harder I work, the luckier I get.
Yeah.
And they look at me and says, yeah, that makes sense. Huh. Yeah, you do that, it will work that way. And
that's right,
you know what? It's just a great, great meeting at Ferraro. He's a nice guy.
I liked his comment there because he talked about traveling with his dad, taking to all the games and everything. And his dad never coached him. He was, he wasn't a coach. But he always said that he looked up to him. But the worst thing that his dad could ever say to him after a game, do you remember what he said?
You didn't work.
You didn't work hard enough.
Yeah.
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 Yeah, well, I thought that was pretty interesting. Nothing really any harsher than that, but he said that would just soul crushing if my dad told me,
yeah,
I don't think you worked that hard today.
Well, he had a lot of respect for his dad, which most kids do, if their dad follows them. And you see it on TV all the time where this guy comes up for his first game and he scores a goal or something, and they flash the mom and dad in the stands, and she's crying, and he's happier than...
How about that? Remember when DeBrusk scored his first goal? I think it was last year, and they had Big Louie. Big Louie, he was a little tough guy for the Oilers, and he was in the crowd, and they caught him wiping a tear.
Yeah.
That was awesome. That was pretty good.
It's a very emotional thing. This, you know what? You can look back on your life and say, I followed my kid right to the end, and... I'm so proud of what he did there, and everybody says how good he did and everything else. And it's hard. It's hard to get there and do that. I mean,
oh, for sure.
I can think of lots of guys who I played hockey with were better hockey players than I was. But you know what? I just had the intestinal fortitude just to say, the harder you work, the luckier you get.
You bet. So today we're talking about some of the funnier things, practical jokes, and things that have happened while you were playing. The first story we were going to talk about was when you were in Dallas, right?
Yep.
And you guys had a real interesting community there where you guys had where you're all living and stuff, and you guys were a really close-knit group. But tell us about the Dallas story first here.
It was a Sunday afternoon, and like you say, we were all living in this big apartment. It was a huge, huge apartment with a big pool in the middle and three stories, I think, high. And so I think most of the team lived there. It wasn't that everybody thought it'd be a good idea. So one Sunday afternoon, we had a few beer and we were sitting around, and I remember sitting at this place and there's a hockey game on TV, and it was Montreal playing somebody, and I can't remember who. And Jim Graham, this guy, walked in and he said, "Oh, there's a hockey game on." I says, "Yeah." I says, "Come on, sit down and watch it." But little did he know that the game was played Saturday night.
Yeah.
That was about 40 years ago. And
yeah.
On the next day, they would play it in Dallas. And I read the paper that morning, and I know who won. I knew exactly who won, and I knew who scored the goal.
Yeah.
Graham didn't know that. So he's sitting there, so time was going on. There's about, I don't know, 3 or 4 minutes to go in the third period. And I says, "I'll bet you Belleville scores the next goal. He wins the game for them." He says, "Oh, yeah, right. What do you know, Norris?" I said, "No, I just think he's going to." Another minute goes on. All of a sudden, Belleville scores a goal.
Yeah.
Graham looks at me and he says, "What the heck?" He says, how did you know that?" I says, "You goalies haven't got a brain to in your head." I says, "Well, it's just, I just knew he's going to score." So anyway, he says, "Well, I don't believe that." So the time went on and we just talked. And then all of a sudden somebody says, "Graham, did you know this game was played last night?" He says, that's why that Norris knew who scores the winning goal.
Yeah, that's
but
funny.
It was funny. But no, we had a really close-knit team there. And you know what? We lost some guys just before the playoffs when Chicago pulled them up just before the deadline. They pulled up Cliff Coral, Jim Wistie, and I think Wayne Mackey was another guy. I think the three they pulled
off
our team. So we thought, that's just going to... And we weren't a great team. We were just okay. We were second or second place. I think Oak City was first, and we were second or third. We must have been second because we didn't play Oak City till the final. Yeah, we'd be second. And there's only six teams in the league. So when playoffs come around, we played whoever the first round, and we beat them. Oak City played whoever they played, and they beat them. So we meet in the final. I had a good series. Well, I had to have had. If we didn't have a good goaltender, we wouldn't have been in there because we were not a great team. But, you know, we just worked hard. And I remember the last games, Jim Harrison was with Oak City, and he was a pretty tough guy. And he's right in front of me. And, you know, and I said, Harry, get the heck out of the way. I can't see. And so anyway, time goes on, and we win the game. He turned around, he tapped my pads, he says, good game, Jake. So anyway, we won the whole series, which we're pretty happy with. So I've got a championship ring from 1969 saying we're the league champs and everything else. So that was pretty cool.
Yeah, that's pretty cool to win that. You know, when we were at that Dinsmore event here the other night and we're sitting with Mike Gray, I don't know if you'd heard the story or not.
No, I didn't. I was talking to Ron, I think.
So Mike had said, he goes, well, do you want to hear a funny story about when I was younger? And so his dad, Bill, and the family, they went on a California trip. They actually were going to California. They saw LA Kings play the Oakland Golden Seals at the Great Western Forum. And then they actually went over to Phoenix because Mike didn't know why at the time, but his dad was like, well, I know a couple guys off the Phoenix Roadrunners. We're going to go watch them. Mm-hmm. And it was actually
me.
It was you. Yeah. So that was pretty interesting to kind of go back then. But anyway, so the story was when they were in LA in the Great West Forum, they were there with their family and mom and dad. You know, Mike's with his mom and dad and stuff. And after some point in the first period, his mom gets up and leaves. And she doesn't come back till the third period. And they're like, where the heck were you? And she goes, oh, I went up to the organ's booth. I was playing the organ.
Really?
Yeah, I was playing Highland Laddie, a Scottish song, because they're Scottish, right?
Really?
Yeah. And they're like, really? And she goes, you didn't hear me? I was playing.
Well, that'd be something.
Like, that doesn't happen nowadays, does it?
No.
So she got to play the organ during a game in L.A. at the Great West Forum.
Really?
Yeah, so that was pretty funny.
I got to tell you about, I think it's Dallas, so you're getting back to Dallas. I think it's Dallas anyway. This lady, no, I think it's L.A. Blades, yeah. Well, we'd go on the road, and this lady that played the organ for us was blind. She couldn't see. But she liked me. She'd see me after the games, and she'd be waiting in a wheelchair, sitting out there waiting. And I'd come up and give her a little hug, and she'd say, that's you, Jack. So she said to me, is there any song that you would like to hear when you come off the road? Like, what would be appropriate, do you think? And I says, John Denver, Ain't It Good to Be Back Home Again.
Hey, it's good to be back home again. Sometimes this old farm feels like a long lost friend. Yes, and hey, it's good to be back home again.
Oh, yeah.
So she played that every night when we got there. We were skating around for our pregame warm-up.
Oh, really?
And she played that every night. Ain't It Good to Be Back Home Again? I thought that's quite nice. Huh. You know, it works in just perfect. Yeah. And I, you know, but she couldn't see, but she could sure play that organ.
Is that right?
Oh, man, she was
good.
That's
pretty cool. So did other guys know what was going on?
I think most of them did, yeah.
But for sure did.
Yeah.
It's weird, hey? And then you wouldn't have noticed, but since you asked, you'd notice it every time, didn't you?
Oh, yeah. I'd look up. Yeah. She couldn't see me, but I could see her. And I'd look up and I'd wave, and the daughter would be standing there. And I could just read her lips from down there. She said, Mom, he just waved to you.
Is that right?
Yeah.
That was cool. Awesome. That's pretty cool. Yeah. So you had a good kind of fun rivalry with Spike Houston when you were playing in Phoenix.
Yeah.
You know, there's always a couple guys that like to do practical jokes on each other on a team and stuff. And you and Spike kind of had a good thing going on there. Kind of was a bit of a 2-year rivalry where at the end you get him. But why don't you kind of talk about what all led up to it?
Well, I don't remember everything that happened. I would think he started it. I think he started. But I remember being in an elevator one time, and we used to go to these little joke shops. You could always get different things in there, and you know, I don't know what some of the things were we got, but Anyway, one thing I do remember we got was these little, it's like a smelling salt, yep. Only it's a stinky bomb.
It stinks. Yeah.
So I had one in my pocket. And so we're going up the elevator from probably our pregame meal or something. We're all going up to lay down, have a nap. Now we got out on the fifth floor or something. They were going up to the 10th floor. And when I got out, I had this thing in my pocket. So just as I got out, I snapped it. And just as the door was closing, I threw it in the elevator. Well, did it stink.
I bet.
It stunk worse than somebody letting off a bit of air.
Yeah, like, that's right.
It just reeked. Well, you could hear them hollering in the elevator. I come down for the pregame to go to the rink, and they says, you. And they were using swearing words at me. Yeah. You. So anyway, this all went on, and year was over, and I retired that year. Another thing I forgot about, too, was they put hot stuff in my jock strap. And I put the jock on for a game, and whoa, was that hot. So I thought, you guys, that's bullshit. So
yeah,
anyway, I took it off and got another jock, but I still had the hot stuff on me.
Well, yeah, it doesn't come off necessarily. And even washing, it's not the best.
No.
Yeah.
But
that one's been done lots, but it's funny that I don't know if people do it as often as it used to be done.
Yeah.
Used to always get guys with that one.
Well, you don't want to upset a guy's game. I mean, so anyway, I was home. And Phoenix were playing in Edmonton the next year. And so I'd shot a skunk out
in the
field.
You're retired now.
Yeah, I'm retired.
You're retired. You and Spike have had your thing.
Yeah.
Yeah. And you haven't seen him for a while.
I haven't seen him for a whole year.
You're at the farm, and you decide to go to, they're playing in Edmonton.
Yeah.
And you go, you know both teams, really, because you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So anyway, we're driving up that next day in the morning. So I shot this skunk out in the field anyway the day before, and it was 30 below. Like, it was really cold.
Yeah.
He's frozen, and I was driving by him that night or something. I thought, you know what? I think maybe I should pick that skunk up and take him up to Edmonton.
Were you with Mom with this? Were you driving, and you're like, I'm going to pick this skunk up and throw it in the vehicle?
I don't think so. I think I threw it in the bag the night before.
Did she go out with you?
Yeah, but
did she know the skunk was in the vehicle?
I don't think she did, because it was all frozen in the trunk.
Oh, okay.
So,
What's in the bag?
Yeah. So I get to the game anyway, and Phoenix lost to Edmonton anyway by a goal or two. So I went down to their hotel after and have a few beer with them, and Spike was in there. Spike and I don't know who, John Gray probably, and whoever else was there. And I walked in the room, and he says, what are you up to now? He says, you're up to no good. He says, I know you, and we've had some episodes and da-da-da-da. So I says, no, I'm not doing nothing. So anyway, make a long story short, I had to go. So she says, where are you going? I said, I'm going down, get something out of the car. I forgot. Bring it up. He says, you're up to no good. And I said, no. So I went down and got this skunk in the plastic bag, brought it into the hotel, took it up to his room, and I knew what room he's in. And I knocked on the door, and his roommate, his name was Reddy, but Del Hall was his real name. And he was sleeping, but he woke up, and I says, Del, you got to get in. So they let me in, and he went back, laid in bed, and went right back to sleep. And I threw the sheets back and put this skunk in his bed between the sheets.
Yeah.
So when you can see a little hump there, but you know what? He's probably half in the barrel anyway. Sure. He would never see that.
Yeah.
So we put the sheets all back. And then I went back to the room and had another beer with the guys. And then I said, well, I'm going home now. And he said, what did you get out of the car? I said, oh, nothing, just something I had to get for whatever. And he says, okay. He said, but you've been up. I said, Spike, those days are over. I said, let's shake hands, and we're buddies now. We're good. Well, he was pretty calm then. He cooled down. And so anyway, I left. Well, he goes back to bed about a half an hour later. Gets into bed, shoves his feet in, and the skunk is in between the sheets. Well, he just screamed. He didn't know what it was. Threw the sheets off. He said that F word.
Yeah.
But he said, it's in my, that goddamn Norris, he said.
Jeez.
So anyway, I never seen him for years after that. Apparently he had a hotel up in Tisdale or Nipawin, one of those towns. He had a hotel up there, bought it. And ran it, and I never went to see him. I should have, but I didn't. And about a year, two, no, how many years ago would that be? 3 years ago, he was out. He lives in Cranbrook now.
Oh, okay. Like, you're talking 3 years ago
from now.
Like, oh, really? Okay, yeah.
Three years ago.
Yeah.
He was in Cranbrook, and I knew a guy in Kimberley who did
JC.
My... JC. Yeah, who did my
JC
basement.
JC Mignot.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so I went back, and I said one night to JC, I said, you ever see Spike? He said, oh, yeah, I play hockey with him all the time. I said, I wonder if you'd like to come for a beer tonight. I'd like to see him just to... So he did. Him and Del Hall, who's a... what's his name? Goalie for Estevan, Wayne Dahl.
Oh, okay.
He came with him from Cranbrook. So I saw them both, and nice to see them both. And we're having a beer, and he says, starts with B. He says, I owe you one. He says, that was the dirtiest thing I've ever pulled on me as a skunk in my bed.
No, I says, how
do you know I did that? Like, you're not sure. He says, I know you did it. He says, I know you're guilty.
That's funny.
Anyway, we shook hands. And so when we left the bar, he went to the bathroom and I went outside. And he's an electrician now. We went up to buy his truck and he's got his big belt in the back, just sitting in the back of his truck. So I put it up on his windshield and he says, you never quit, do you?
No. Nope.
It was funny.
Yeah, that's funny. That's good. That's really good. Yeah, those practical jokes, they're good for team bonding and everything, but that one was a good one.
Because
you just don't expect that.
No, he didn't expect that, and he thought it was all over. But you know what? He's a good electrician, they say. He knows how to do everything, and he just has a truck, and he doesn't work every day doing that, but if he gets a call, he'll go do it.
Oh, yeah.
And that's what he does. So.
Yeah. Well, I think that's a pretty good story there, Jackson. So I think we'll leave her at that.
Yeah, no, that's cool. I had some good days back in those days and fun days. And I, you know, I remember when we were sitting around having supper, just a few drinks after the last game was all over. We're all sitting in this restaurant and we weren't eating, but we're all having drinks. And everybody says, Norris, you're not retiring. I said, yep, that's my last game. I got a son who was you were in kindergarten or grade one that year in Phoenix. And I said, we want you to go to school in Delisle's. I said, no, I'm done. I said, I'm pulling the pin right now. So I told Bill McFarland, our general manager, I said, Bill, I said, don't send me an invite to training camp. If I want to come, I'll phone you and say, look, I can come. But I said, don't send me an invite because I said, as far as I know, I'm retiring. So I did, and you know what? It was good. I had good years, and it was really, really, really cool to be able to do that.
You know, lastly here, you and I are going to another event this weekend.
Yeah.
It's the Canadian 80-plus Hockey Hall of Fame.
Yeah.
This is the Canadian one. I thought it was Saskatchewan. It's actually Canadian.
Yeah.
And there is going to be... There's over 20 guys getting inducted into the Hall of Fame. We talked about it a little bit before, but one of them was Brian Skrulin's dad.
Yeah.
So it's going to be a good event. It's actually at the Western Development Museum.
And Shaw Arena.
Yeah, and there's Shaw Arena. So at 12:30, between 12:30 and 1:45, these 80-year-old guys are playing the College of Veterinary and Medicine women's team.
Yeah.
Yeah.
that'll be about their speed, too.
Well, probably.
Yeah.
But it'll be interesting. It'll be pretty good. And then there's over 600 tickets sold. So it's going to be a fun banquet. I think Dennis Hull is the main speaker. I don't know who else they have.
Skrulin will be there.
For sure.
Brian Skrulin will be there
so
talking.
It's going to be awesome. We're going to have something to talk about here next week.
Yeah. But I think they're doing it all over Canada. Every old people that play like that.
Yeah.
I think they're doing it all over. Every place has their day. And that's...
You might have to make a comeback. You'll get in the Hall of Fame again.
Oh, I don't know. I had my warning. I think I give my skates to my other kid, to Paul. So I'm done now.
Yeah, okay.
I'm done. So.
Yeah. Oh, that's awesome. So.
Yeah.
All right. Well, that was a good podcast, Dad. Jackson.
You bet.
And we'll talk to you next week.
Okay.
Okay. Bye.
Bye. That's Dad.
Well, that ends episode 5 of season 2 of the Jack Norris podcast, Jack Unmasked, where we learn that Jack is a bit of a trickster more than we thought and shit disturber, throwing a skunk in somebody's bed and throwing stink bombs in the elevators. I have to throw a shout out thanks to John Denver for his excellent tune Back Home Again. I gotta admit, I've played that a few times actually since we played that. If you would like to be notified of the next podcast, which hopefully comes out every Friday, we've missed a few, but sorry for that, you can go to www.nccag.ca. Click on the podcast tab, enter your email, and you'll be notified as each podcast comes out, hopefully every Friday. Until we talk to you next week, thanks for listening. and we'll talk to you soon.
So I shot this skunk. Maybe I should pick that skunk up and take him up to Edmonton. And Spike was in there. I walked into the room and he says, "What are you up to now?" He says, "You're up to no good." He says, "I know you." And so I went down and got this skunk. And I says, "Della, you gotta get in." And I threw the sheets back and put this skunk in his bed between the sheets. He says, "What did you get out of the car?" I said, "Oh, nothing, just something I had to get." Gets into bed, shoves his feet in, and this skunk is in between the sheets. Well, he just screamed. He didn't know what it was. Threw the sheets off. Well, he said that F word. That was the dirtiest thing I've ever pulled on me, of a skunk in my bed.